King of kings and the Lord of lords. Lord, I magnify you. Oh, I lift you up, God. Oh, my praise is unto you, Lord. My worship is for you and you alone, God. Oh, yes, Jesus. Lord, you are mighty, God. Oh, yes, Jesus. Have your way, Lord, in this place. Have your way in this place. Hallelujah. We've often conditioned this congregation to say one of the most critical parts about receiving anything from God is our response. And so for you today, it is not so much important that there is worship, and I'm glad there is, because we know Paul and Silas worshiped and other people were loosed. But if you can step out of the place that you are in and the attack and the onslaught of the enemy for just long enough, for you personally to step into the presence of God, there is something that can be loosed in this place. There can be a personal visitation from God. I've been feeling for almost a week now that there was going to be something that would be loosed on this service today. That there would be healing that would be loosed. That there would be change that would be loosed in the sanctuary. So I speak it into existence right now. Under the unction of the Holy Ghost, I confirm the words that you have spoke to me. And Lord, I pray that healing is loosed in the sanctuary right now. I speak against every attack, that every affliction in the body right now, that there is a healing touch that is loose. God, I pray for every spirit of bondage. Lord, every storm that somebody finds themselves in right now, I pray that chains are broken in the sanctuary right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, let it be loose in this place. Let your glory, let your presence, let your spirit be loose in the sanctuary right now, Jesus. Everyone say, my response. Oh, come on, you got to do better than that. My response. Come on, God. Do you believe God is a healer? Do you believe God is a deliverer?
Hallelujah.
Do you believe that God still answers prayers?
Yeah.
Do you believe that God still calls and still anoints?
Hallelujah.
Yes, Mark chapter 6 and verse number 45. I am not joking when I say, and I'm not using hyperbole in any way, when I fell for a solid week, that I have felt that God would do something miraculous in this place. And I am not trying to make light of the word, but I think God was putting me in check that what he was going to do was not up to me, but by his power. And I'm thankful for that. We are not limited to Pastor Jason's power and authority, but we are only limited by the unlimitedless power of Almighty God. Amen. He told me these words. It didn't matter what I preached, that he was going to do the work. As we respond to him, he was going to do a work in this place. Mark chapter 6, verse number 45. And straightway, he constrained his disciples to get in the ship and to go to the other side before Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. I'm going to pause right here and say, I don't care where you are, or if you feel like no one knows where you are, God knows where you are. And when it feels like you are toiling with everything that is within you and it is getting you nowhere, I promise God has his eyes on you and he knows where you are. For the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, Jesus came unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. I've often referenced this verse, and for here I will spend some time this morning, but I'll continue on reading in just a couple more verses. Verse 49, and when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed. Hallelujah. I believe that if we respond in their way, that there is going to be some of us that leave amazed at the awesome power of God. There's going to be confirmation that God still heals. There's going to be confirmation that God still delivers in this place. Can we pray right now that that would be loose? Lord Jesus, we pray over the next few moments, Lord God, that you would speak, that your word would come alive as was taught in the first lesson this morning. I pray, God, that you would speak into our hearts, Lord God, and as you would walk by this place, that there would be something that would so overwhelm our spirit and compel us, that there would be us that would cry out to you, Lord God, and that you would meet us in this place, speak in an awesome way, move in an awesome way, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. You can be seated. Hallelujah. They had just experienced the miracle of feeding of 5,000 and all of the baskets that were taken up. They were amazed. Maybe it is for this reason that Scripture says that Jesus himself had to literally compel them to get into the ship. Maybe it was that excitement. They wanted to continue to mingle with the people and talk about the awesomeness of God. Maybe it was simply that they understood, being seasoned fishermen and used to the sea and the weather patterns, they realized that a storm was brewing. But for whatever reason, they were compelled and they got in the ship without Jesus. And the storm began to rage. And they were doing everything that they could to stay afloat. And Jesus had been watching from a distance, and now he begins to come close by. He provided an opportunity to be touched. He provided an opportunity to be reached. But still, Scripture says that he would have passed them by. What a scary thought to comprehend. That here they are in the midst of their storm, and they recognize, or think that they recognize, that it is Jesus that is passing them by. And so they began to cry out to them, but Scripture is emphatic. He would have passed them by. If it had not been for their call, if it had not been for their sense of urgency, if it had not been for their desperation, if it had not been that they were willing now to put all of their faith and trust and confidence in the power of Almighty God, he literally would have passed them by. I wonder how often that this has happened, that Jesus has come to see us and he has waited to see if we are ready to call out to him, if we will even recognize the opportunity of a personal visitation. And our conflict and our struggle and the battle, the crisis, the news that scares us to our core. And Jesus sees it all, and he decides that he is going to come and walk by. But there is no response, and he simply passes on by. And we wonder where Jesus is. Where is my God? Where is the healer that I know he is? Where is the deliverer that I have heard about? Why could it be simply that God has made himself available to us and he is waiting for somebody to invite him into their situation and say, God, I don't know what to do anymore. God, I've hit the bottom of the bottom. God, I've got to have something today, because he would have passed them by. We all want the personal visitation where we just wake up and the storm is gone. We all dream about those things, like we dream about winning the $1 million and how we would spend it. But unless some of you are holding out, it hadn't happened yet, right? And some of us are wanting just to somehow wake up and everything to be like it used to be, and the trouble to have passed and the sickness to be gone. We all want the shadow of pastor to pass by and somehow it to be as it was in Scripture, the shadow of Peter passing over and people were healed. And maybe we want somebody to grab us by the hand and read us everything that's been going on in our lives, and we know that God is somehow still God, and we just want it to all be over. After all, He knows our struggle. If He loves us, He could change our situation. If we just hang around where He is long enough, eventually something will happen. And yes, God can. God often does do exactly that. That it is, can't even explain why God would heal that person or why God would deliver that person. There's no reason. They didn't do anything to, in my mind, to deserve it. They didn't seem to respond. But I can go to other places in Scripture where it was up to them, an individual, to create a personal opportunity for God. That God was so close that there was a window of opportunity, and in their response that something miraculous happened. We often talk about it. It was David after Ziklag. There was nobody saying, David, it's going to be all right. David, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to work out. But what we find is David had to encourage himself in the Lord. And as he began to do that, there was a personal visitation, and God began to speak into his situation. It was Jacob who is now afraid that Esau is on the horizon. And the family dynamics being what they are, he knows what Esau is going to do. And so in the middle of the night, there was a window of opportunity that is opened, and whether an angel or the very presence of God, here Jacob is wrestling with an angel or with the presence of God, and this spirit speaks to him and says, let me go. And Jacob is so caught up in creating a personal visitation with God, he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. It was a Zacchaeus that he could have. There was nobody that took him by the hand and said, hey, what you really need is a personal visitation with Jesus, and I want to introduce you to this Jesus. He can do awesome things. I've heard he forgives people. But Zacchaeus somehow made up in his mind, nobody's taking me by the hand, but you know what, I'm going to create an audience with this guy. I'm going to find out where he is, and it's not going to be enough to just to be on the roadside. I want to get up in an elevated place where I can look him in the eyes. I want to see all of him. Because he was not willing to let Jesus pass him by. It was blind Bartimaeus that nobody took him by the hand and said, hey, I've got an opportunity for you. Why don't you let me introduce you to Jesus? Why don't you let me introduce you to this guy that I know that heals all sorts of people? But no, blind Bartimaeus said, if he really is God robed in flesh, if he really is a healer, I'm going to create my opportunity. I'm not going to let him pass me by. And when he got within earshot, people even began to shut him down and say, hey, be quiet. But all the more he began to cry out. Because why? He said, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. If there really is a healer, if there really is a deliverer, I'm going to get him's attention. It was a woman with an issue of blood. It is just on and on. We can go through the Scripture. Nobody said, hey, I got an audience with Jesus. Let me take you over there. Let me show you some things. Let me do something for you. But no, it was this woman who made up her mind, I'm not going to let him pass me by. She made up in her mind, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, then I know I will be made whole. Why do all of these people do that? They recognize that Jesus was close by, that there was a window of opportunity. and they made up in their mind, I'm not going to let him pass me by. If he is still a healer and he is in this place, I've made up my mind, I'm going to get a healing. If he still is a deliverer, I'm not leaving this place until I feel, oh, I feel a weight began to drop off of me and chains began to be loosed. I'm not leaving this place. I'm not going to let him pass me by. I'm not going to let him pass me by. We get so caught up in protocol of the order of how things were done, of how things, and yet, well, there can be a move of God and we know he's there, and like, I'll wait till there's some other time. I'll just wait until whatever the reason, whatever the situation, whatever we put into our mind. But I believe in the Spirit that there is at least a few someones, if not a lot of someones, that are to a place that you're saying to yourself, Pastor Jason, if I take you at your word, and there really is a window of opportunity, there really is that he is passing by, and then if I can inconvenience myself to get into his presence, then I'm going to do that. I believe that there is a spirit that is being loosed in this place. Jeremiah, as Pastor mentioned in the first service, is now speaking to the exiles, Judah. They're in Babylon now. They are worst place, it's just, how did they even get to this place? And Jeremiah begins to speak to them. Jeremiah has not always been kind with his words, but he has a word for them. That even in the midst of the chaos and in the midst of the storm and in the midst that they don't even feel like God cares for them anymore, Jeremiah hears from God and he speaks into their situation. If you allow me, I'm not trying to do theatrics, but I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes because I want you to hear what Jeremiah wrote to them. Every eye is closed in this place. Hear these words. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And I will, if you seek me, you will find me, and you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me. And ye shall, if you search with all of your heart. Every eye open in this place, if you could hear Jeremiah speaking for God, I allowed this because of your hard-headedness. I allowed it because you refused to serve me. This is Jeremiah speaking. Even after all the blessings. But he's also saying, I know where you are, though. And my greatest desire is to bless you. I will bring you out when you search for me with all of your heart. I will create an opportunity. I will create a miracle if you will search for me, if you will reach for me with all of your heart. And the tragic part of this plea and this very personal message from God is that Judah still refuses to recognize a personal visitation from God. That there was an opportunity that would not always be presented, that was now present. But yet their hearts were hardened. But I believe that God spoke to me this week that there was individuals that would be in this place that there might have been a time that your heart was hardened, that there might have been a time that you were not willing to respond and to nothing withheld, nothing held back. But there is a place that you are in your life right now that is your condition, that you are hungry for something, you are hungry for an opportunity, and hear the voice of God, that if you will reach for me with all of your heart, I will do a supernatural work for you. I will bless you. It is my desire to bless you. It is my desire to touch you. It is my desire to calm the storm in your life. As we all stand in this place, can you recognize a personal visitation from God? He has not brought you to this point to destroy. Somebody needs to hear this right now. He has not brought you to this point in your life to destroy you or to end you. But He's brought you to this point that He can restore you and make something better out of you than you could ever make of yourself. I believe that's a specific word for someone. There's healing that's been loosed, but I believe God is speaking into the heart of individuals right now. You're wrestling with things. There's chaos that's going on, but God's not trying to destroy you. And hear the words of Jeremiah. I believe that it is a prophetic word for this church today, that if we can recognize that opportunity, that window in His presence, and respond to Him, that He can touch and work in our situation. I'm going to pray over this. Every eye closed for just a moment. I'm going to pray over this sanctuary for just a moment. And when I finish praying, these altars are going to be open. Brother Jeff's going to begin to pray or play. And you can come and begin to create a personal visitation. Can we do that right now? Lord Jesus, Lord God, I know that there is healing that is loosed in this place. Lord, I know that there is deliverance. I believe right now that there is deliverance that is loosed in the sanctuary. That there are individuals that are tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you are creating a window of opportunity that right now, that if they would respond to you, that not only would you deliver, but the desires that used to flood their mind and draw them back to conditions that only meant to destroy, that you will break the yoke. I believe that there is healing that is being loosed in the sanctuary right now. Oh God, that you will move in a special way, that there is healing right now in the name of Jesus, that every sickness has to flee at the name of Jesus, that by your stripes we are healed, that there is strength that is being loosed right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, you're an awesome God. You are a miracle working God. Oh Lord, let it be loose. Let it be loose in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, these altars are open right now. I believe that if you will respond, that God will do something miraculous.